Our next guest, fantasy football writer for Sportsnet.ca. It is Matt Marchese. Matt, how are you today, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you very much. We're a little scrambled in the fantasy football world with a couple players not necessarily going to be in the lineup now with the Titans and the Steelers game being postponed. I guess we'll start there. How should people be pivoting? Are there like the waiver wire is already done, but are there a couple desperation names out there that could be fill-ins for the Steelers and Titans now not in your lineup?
You know, it's really funny because I was taking a look at guys that may or may not be available for this week based on waivers. There are some guys that can actually provide you with some good fantasy weeks that are available. If you're looking for a QB to replace Ryan Tannehill or Ben Roethlisberger, you can look at Gardner Minshew available in 49% of, or sorry, available in 50% of Yahoo leagues. He should get DJ Chark back this week, and I'm expecting that they will score some points against Cincinnati. The other guy is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and only rostered in 16% of Yahoo leagues, and he gets the Seattle defense, who's been absolutely hemorrhaging points to quarterbacks, the second most points per game to quarterbacks this season. If you're looking for, you know, the running back position is hard. If you're trying to replace a guy like Derrick Henry or James Conner, you may be able to get a guy like Damian Harris, who's only rostered in 26% of Yahoo leagues. That's more of a speculative add. If you're desperate, you can start him. But that's a guy that, you know, maybe looking forward might be a little bit more valuable to you. But wide receivers, I think there's a couple. Anthony Miller in Chicago with Nick Foles at quarterback becomes a lot more attractive, and he's rostered in only 48% of Yahoo leagues. We saw what happened once Nick Foles took over and Anthony Miller with a big touchdown catch at the end of the game. And Cole Beasley, this is kind of a surprising one. This one more for PPR formats, but Beasley is rostered in only 17% of Yahoo leagues, and all he's done is average 5 catches for 76 yards through the first 3 games, including 100 yards last week against the Rams. So there are guys. I'm guessing the tight end position is probably okay. Pittsburgh doesn't really have one of relevance, but if you're looking to replace Jonnu Smith, might I give you Mo Alie-Cox, 29% rostered in Yahoo leagues, and the former basketball player, stop me if you've heard that one before, 161 yards in his last 2 games since he took over from Jack Doyle as the top pass catching option. And the Bears have allowed TDs to tight ends in 2 of the first 3 games this year. So there are some options out there. It's certainly not ideal, but you just got to play it as if it's a bye week right now.
Yeah. Mo Alie-Cox, 6'5", 267. Like just one of the hugest men not on the offensive line on that football field. So yeah, no, I like that one a lot. As far as maybe options in tonight's game goes, not quite as many. Is there, I guess, maybe Melvin Gordon, but aside from that, anyone you're trusting in Broncos Jets tonight?
Actually, there's a few, surprisingly enough. Melvin Gordon,
Okay.
you mentioned for sure. I'm gonna start. You know, you look at the 70, at least 70 rushing yards the last 2 weeks, plus 18 touches, at least 18 touches in those games. The Jets giving up the seventh most points to the running back position per game. That seems like an easy one to me. I know that people will be a little bit skeptical about starting the next two guys, but they shouldn't be. Jerry Jeudy's the top wide receiver on that team with Courtland Sutton down. He's had at least 7 targets in every game and at least 4 catches and 55 yards in those games. So for PPR options, that's a really decent floor as a flex play. And Noah Fant. Noah Fant is tight end 4 in standard scoring and tight end 3 in PPR scoring. He's averaging 7 targets per game, and he has at least 4 catches in each of those games. I'm comfortable with starting those three guys. The one surprising one is on the other side of the field, and it's the Jets. And it's not Sam Darnold, and Jamison Crowder is still dealing with a hamstring injury. How about this one for a real deep one? Braxton Berrios. Remember that name? Former New England sixth rounder. He was the hype. He was the next Julian Edelman, Wes Welker, you know, the scrappy slot receiver. It didn't quite work out in New England, but it looks like it's working in New York. He's only played 2 games, but he has 10 catches on 12 targets in those 2 games, and he's averaging 61.5 receiving yards and has a TD in each game that he's played. Sam Darnold is a guy that looks for him because, in reality, Peter, he has no one else to look for. So I actually like Berrios in both standard and PPR if you really are struggling to throw a guy in your lineup and you have something to cheer for on Thursday night.
There you go. Looking at the Sunday slate, you already mentioned Anthony Miller maybe getting a boost from Nick Foles being at quarterback. There are a few weapons on that Bears roster that kind of like if they had a quarterback to get him the ball. Now it looks like they're going to have that. Are there a couple of Bears that are catching your attention with a quarterback change?
Well, Anthony Miller for sure. And you look at the one thing about Mitch Trubisky is he's really inaccurate. And I think we all can say that. So when I was doing some research for my article this week, 10 Fantasy Thoughts on Sportsnet.ca, I researched that Mitch Trubisky was 30th in on-target percentage. So that excludes spikes and throwaways. And that was 66.3% of his throws were on target. So that doesn't even take into consideration completion percentage. So it wasn't very good. And then you look at Allen Robinson's numbers. Allen Robinson may be one of the most QB-proof wide receivers in football. His catchable target percentage this season, through the first two games with Mitch Trubisky at the helm for the full game, was 61.1%. How is a guy supposed to do anything with those kind of numbers? So Foles comes in. His on-target percentage last year in four starts was 78.6%, and that would have ranked him fifth in the NFL had he played a full season. So Robinson definitely gets a boost. Jimmy Graham gets a boost. The one guy that I think gets the biggest boost out of all is David Montgomery, and for two reasons. One, when the passing game is more effective, he sees less guys in the box. So he's not going to see eight-man boxes all the time. Plus, you add that to the injury of Tariq Cohen, who's out for the year with an ACL injury. That already adds passing value for David Montgomery, who showed in college at Iowa State that he can catch the ball out of the backfield. This is a Bears offense that targets the running back. I would say fairly heavily. We're talking 147 passes to the running back position last year. And Tariq Cohen had 100 targets last year. So David Montgomery already is going to eat up a bunch of that because I don't trust Cordarrelle Patterson. So David Montgomery is definitely a guy that if you want to go out and acquire somebody for cheap because he hasn't performed to this point, David Montgomery would certainly be one of those guys.
Another team that interests me a little bit is the Houston Texans. I think when you look at some of the numbers they've put up, it can be a little bit frustrating. We're not too far removed from like the top three quarterback conversation going years ago. But you look at the schedule they've played, it's ridiculous. They get a bit of a softer spot on the schedule with the Vikings. Could this be a potential buy low candidate with Deshaun Watson?
I think it absolutely can. And you talked about Watson's value. And Deshaun Watson, through the first three games, obviously hasn't put up good numbers. But let's talk about the defenses that he's played. The Chiefs showed what they can do against Lamar Jackson. We know that the Ravens have a good defense and a good secondary. They didn't quite show it in the Monday nighter against Kansas City. And the Steelers are a great defense. So it's not like he's had a cupcake schedule. But when you fast forward to the next five games, he's got the Vikings, he's got the Jaguars twice, he's got the Titans who have been giving up points left, right, and center to opposing offenses, and the Packers who also give up a lot of points. Deshaun Watson has top five potential. He doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins, and I understand that that will deliver a blow to his fantasy numbers, but this is a top 10 quarterback with or without DeAndre Hopkins in the lineup. He's talented. He can get you fantasy points on the ground with his feet. He's creative. He's fairly accurate. This is a guy that just oozes talent. It's unfortunate that Bill O'Brien ruins a lot of that because I think he's an awful coach, but that's a guy that if somebody has already soured on him, I would definitely go out and make a play for him. In two QB leagues, he'll be harder to acquire. But in one QB leagues, if you're starting a guy like, let's say you're starting Ryan Tannehill and you're not quite sold on him, well, that's Deshaun Watson is a guy that you can go out and get, and it won't cost you as much as you think likely.
He was listed in your clearance section in the 10 Fantasy Thoughts column that you mentioned on sportsnet.ca. Who are a couple of other names that might be buy low candidates as we head into week four?
Well, David Montgomery was one for sure that we had mentioned earlier in the interview. But Kenyon Drake, he was a guy that I was expecting to have a breakout week this week against the Lions, and the game script didn't quite go in his favor. But this is a guy who's handled 59 touches through the first three games. That's a lot of volume. You're talking maybe on average 20 touches per game. There's not a lot of running backs that get that. The unfortunate thing with him is that Kyler Murray does steal a lot of his touchdown upside. But the Cardinals will be playing in high-scoring games. The schedule opens up a little bit where they play, you know, more poor run defenses than they have been throughout the first three games. So there's definitely opportunity here. You always want to attach yourself to running backs and good offenses. Well, Arizona is a good offense, and Drake is the guy. Anybody who thinks that Chase Edmonds is going to eat into his workload, well, he hasn't so far through three games. He plays, but he certainly doesn't get anywhere near 19 or 20 touches a week. So I like Kenyon Drake. The other guy that I really like, and he's coming off of an injury, is DJ Chark. We saw what the offense looked like for the Jaguars in the Thursday nighter without him. He is a guy that attracts attention, but he's also good enough that it doesn't matter who's on him, he can make plays. And that was evidenced by his wide receiver two finish last year out of absolutely nowhere. He's a big-bodied guy who can run good routes, he's fast, and he's got very good hands. That's the guy that Minshew needs in the lineup, and I expect that we will see DJ Chark get involved in the offense a little bit more. And again, wide receiver is a position where there's a lot of depth. So if you could squeeze out a little bit more value out of a guy like DJ Chark and maybe trade away guys that have been, you know, overachieving through the first 3 weeks and you want to sell high on them, DJ Chark is a guy that I would look to for sure. Watson and Montgomery as well are guys that we had mentioned that can definitely be had as well.
Matt, one more for you. Someone texted in during the segment saying that someone in their league has just dropped Chris Godwin, the receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Sounds ridiculous, but injuries have been a bit of a problem for him in the first few weeks of the season. Any concern long term for Godwin of the Bucs?
Not particularly, and I would love to know if I can get into that league if guys are dropping
Chris
Godwin. But no, you know what? The one thing that we have seen through the first 3 weeks is a lot of soft tissue injuries. And we discussed this. This is going to happen throughout the course of the year. No preseason. You know, these injuries will be a common occurrence. You know, we've seen the concussions. We've seen this. But I'm okay with Chris Godwin. I'm okay with Mike Evans long term. This is a new offense that Tom Brady is in. It's some of Tom Brady's offense that he had in New England, but it's a lot of Bruce Arians as well. So I'm not really concerned long term. At the end of the day, what you should really be worried about, yes, you have to kind of, you know, wade through the storm that is happening through the first 4 or 5 weeks, but at the end, it's all about the playoffs, and you want Chris Godwin to show up, you know, in weeks 14, 15, and 16. That's what you're looking for. So I would be going out and getting Chris Godwin. If, again, the one thing about fantasy football, and I pointed it out in the article, you have to be, I like to say, channel your inner Mike Tolbert. Go out and be a vulture. Find out which guys that managers have soured on, like maybe it's Julio Jones, maybe it's Joe Mixon. Those are the guys that you want to go out and get, because they provide value. You just kind of got to wade the storm a little bit and then see what happens. But Chris Godwin, absolutely. I have no qualms about Chris Godwin, and I'm very, very confident that he will return to form later this season.